right. Well, again, it's a blessing to be here, even if I'm showing up just about 20, 30 minutes late for the Sunday school. There was wires crossed earlier with Brother Arland, and I just didn't check my text, I guess. And, you know, it was at 9:30. I didn't realize Sunday school was at 9:30. I showed up close to 10. I think, was it 10?
Quarter to,
okay. All right, so 15 minutes late. The hotel was 5 minutes away, so that was a blessing. Yeah. He calls me up, "Are you stuck, brother?" It's 10 o'clock, right? 9:30. Okay, I'm on my way. Patience. We're going to be preaching on patience. So be patient with me, because sometimes that's what you need. Amen? The waiting game. All right, let's pray. Lord, we pray that you'd bless the service this morning, Lord. God, that you'd just open the hearts of the folks here. Lord, that you would just, Lord, just fill me. And Lord, use me, God. God, just give clarity of mind, Lord. And Lord, that you'd just cause the folks to be receptive, Lord. And God, to be understanding of God, the gist of this message. Lord, we love you, and God, we thank you that you're God. And Lord, that you're in control. And God, that ultimately, our lot in life, God, does not pass through the sieve of your permissive will. And we're thankful for that, Lord. God, if we're left to ourselves, Lord, oh Lord, God, it'd be a scary thing. And so, Lord, God, we pray that you just grant your mercy, Lord, and your love here this morning. And we'll thank you for it, Lord. Bless. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Patience. In Luke chapter 21, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke 21, and in verse 19 it says, "In your patience possess ye your souls." In your patience possess ye your souls. You know, waiting, it really has an effect, quite a strong an effect on people. And to those that are not saved, it can create this atmosphere of seeking after God. To those that are saved and maybe backslidden, it can create an atmosphere of causing you to go towards God. But to those that they are saved and they're waiting, and especially after prolonged waiting, it's waiting that just takes time. It can have an effect where it draws you away from God. You know, there was this brother back in my hometown, and he taught Sunday school, and he did a very good job. And he did about two or three services, and I thought, man, why is he not doing Sunday school anymore? And it really kind of puzzled me. And he got up there and he taught on church history, you know, and he was really educated in it. And I really liked what I was hearing. And it's a blessing that you have Sunday school teachers. You know, there are churches that they don't have Sunday school teachers. And it's a blessing to be able to hear other men get up and relay God's word to the congregation. But he stopped after about the third time. He wasn't teaching Sunday school anymore. And I just wondered about that. Well, I lived with the guy for a little while. It was a few months. And I came across something in his possession. Not that I was sneaking, but I really wasn't. But I saw something in his house. And he came up to me afterwards because he had seen that I had seen this specific thing in his house. And he apologized to me later and he said, "Brother, I've just not gotten over that." And this was an older gentleman. And, you know, I started to see the reason why he stopped doing Sunday school. And it really, he was my friend. We'd go to, I don't know if you guys have Robin's Donuts here. I don't think there's Robin's Donuts in Alberta. There was a few in Calgary. So there's, usually it's just Tim Hortons. But we'd go to Robin's Donuts together, and we'd have coffee, and we'd have donuts, and just have a good time. Me and this brother, a few of the other men in the church as well. And I just thought, man, this guy's very educated in church history and the things of the Bible. He was saved out of a Pentecostal movement. And I just thought it would have been very nice just to see him continue. But he stopped. He had voiced to me a few times. He said, "Brother, I'm just waiting on the Lord for this specific thing." And when he said it, it was said with this sort of a bitterness about him, you know? And he soon didn't wait on the Lord, and he took matters into his own hands, and he now, I don't know if he's even in church. He wasn't teaching Sunday school. Waiting. It has a thing where it can strengthen you. It's like the gospel. The gospel, when preached to sinners, it either softens them towards God or it hardens them to the point where, as the Pharisees, they put their fingers in their ears and they gnash on Stephen with their teeth. I mean, I can't picture somebody, a grown man, coming up to you and start biting you on the arms and on the legs. To me, that's quite a ridiculous sight, but this is exactly what happened with these men. And so patience, waiting on God, it has a thing where either it will harden you against God, or it will cause you to have that long look and see in the distance that God has an ultimate plan for me. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will with the temptation also make the way to escape, that ye may be able also to bear it. And if you keep that long look in the forefront, and you just remember that God, if God be for us, who can be against us? And I can wait on this. Hear the patience of Job. And he just stopped waiting. My friend, he stopped waiting. You know, Sarah, she was given a promise by God, or Abraham was. And he talked to his wife, Sarah, and she laughed. She was at the age where she was past the ability of childbearing. But she was given this promise, and he was given this promise. And here they are, again, the impossibility of bearing children is evident. And they think, well, God gave me this promise, and so therefore I'm going to wait on God. And so a day goes by, and, well, okay, I'm not sure what's going on, and, you know, few months go by and there's no baby bump. A year goes by, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 10 years. God, you said that we'd have a child. And here's Sarah. First she laughed. She had this handmaid, Hagar. And this handmaid, you know, she was getting to be of age, I assume. This is what I see. And Sarah, she sees the handmaid and she's thinking, well, I know God has said that we would have a child and that this is a physical impossibility, but he promised us this child. But maybe he's thinking that we can have a child through my handmaid. Yeah, I think this very possibly could be what it is. And so, Hagar! Yeah. Don't fall for plan B.
Amen.
Go for the plan that God has given to you. And in your patience, possess ye your souls. Because God, he does have a plan for your life. And there are so many people out there. I know of a friend of mine, his sister, raised in church, King James Bible Believing Baptist Church. And she got tired of waiting on God, and so she said, I'm going to take matters into my own hands, and I'm done waiting. Now she's married to a guy, doesn't attend church. Oh, you know what she says? She says, hey, look at God's plan for my life. Look what God did for me. Hey, look at my Ishmael. Look what God, look at the promised child. Look at him. And everybody's looking at this Ishmael. I don't know what that is, Sarah. We talked earlier about asking God. God, we have the mind of Christ, and we ask God, God, if we acknowledge him in all thy ways, he shall direct thy paths. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And then you're in church this morning. I'd say that's good. There's people out there. I saw some folks walking by. Even on the drive here, some man had his tent set up in the ditch, and he looked quite inebriated. He looked quite drunk. Here's my Ishmael. It's amazing what God did for me. And we convince ourselves, we deceive ourselves. When everybody on the outside, they see this was not God's plan for you. Because when we ask God, he will show you. He will show you what the plan is. Luke 21, and in verse 9. But when he shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. Let's say in verse 16, and ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Verse 19, but in your patience possess ye your souls. In your patience. You know, Nehemiah, he was to go back to Jerusalem and build the walls. You know, in your patience, when God has given you a promise, there's going to be harassments. And Sarah, it says when Hagar had that child, it says that the adversary, she fretted because of the adversary. Sarah fretted because Hagar said, oh, I got the child. Where's your child, Sarah? And Ishmael, she was from Egypt. And the Egyptians, they were of a different religion. They weren't of the religion of the Jews. It was a different religion. Oh, what is Jehovah doing for you? He says he promised you this specific thing, but it's not come to pass in your life. Oh, look at me. I serve my God and I have my child. There's going to be harassments when you wait. And Nehemiah, he's there building the walls. He has his burden and he goes before the king and he's grieved. And the king says, what's going on? Why are you grieved? Why is your countenance fallen? What's happening, Nehemiah? And he quickly prays, because if you're in the presence of a king and you're sad, I mean, there it's off with your head. And he says that the walls are broken down and I want to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls. And he says, yeah, you can go back. And so he goes to build the walls. When he goes to build those walls, there's a man by the name of two men, Sanballat and Tobiah. You know what they say? They say if a fox goes on that wall, it's going to fall down. It's going to break it apart. God, man, we don't have a whole lot of means to get these walls built. And God, we're being harassed. But I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, you asked us to build these walls. You've asked us. Job, You know, one of the interesting things about Job is that he was misunderstood. He was misunderstood. And in his trial, he was painted with this picture. See, God's going to ask you to do things that are going to be... It's going to cause people to look on. God's going to cause things to happen in your life that they're going to be hard. They're going to put you into a place where you're in this, as Pilgrim's Progress said, the valley of humiliation. Oh God, I can't go down. I can't go that way. There's a valley, and God, I might get stuck down there in the swamp, and I'm going to get full of this mud water, and Lord, but that's where I've asked you to go. It's scary sometimes what God asks of his children to do, but I'm telling you, it's worth it. And in your patience, you've got to possess your soul. Jonah, he's asked to go to Nineveh. He goes there. Well, he runs away first, doesn't he? He runs away, takes that ship, and he gets spit out of the belly of the whale. And while he's on the shore, what does God say? He says, all right, the call of going to Nineveh is over, and I want you to go to a different place. No. He wants him to start where he left off. Go to Nineveh. I don't know, maybe some of you were waiting on something. And then you just got tired. And some things, they may not be able to be reversed. Hagar, you know, Ishmael couldn't go back and become not Ishmael anymore. He was going to be around forever. In fact, at this time, the Bible said he'd be a wild man and he'd be against Israel for the rest of their days. But there were still victories. There were still victories. And Job, he went through his trial, and he tried to explain to his comforters, because they were saying, look, the reason why you're going through this trial, Job, is because in this doctrinal box, look, right here, if you're in the will of God, there's no harassments that are going to take place in your life. But once you get outside of that doctrinal box that we put you in, Job, this is the reason. You're out of the will of God. This is the reason why you're being hurt. This is the reason why affliction is coming upon you. And Job tries to tell him, I don't know why. I don't know why. Look, God has ordained this humiliation for me, and I've done right. I sacrifice daily before I go about my daily chores for my brethren to make sure, or my children to make sure they're okay in case they've sinned, cursed God in their hearts. It says there's not anybody in the Bible that says that they were perfect and upright and eschew with all evil. But he did. But he was still tormented. And he had to wait. And it says, hear the patience of Job. In your patience, possess ye your souls. David, you know, King David, he was anointed to be king. He was anointed to be king, and it wasn't until 14 years later, after running away from this madman Saul who sought for his life, 14 whole years before he actually became the king of the southern tribes. And 7 years later, 20 years before he actually took over, that's a lot of waiting. And you know, the irony of his waiting, you know, first his life is being sought for to be killed. But that wasn't after the fact until God says, all right, here's Samuel. So all of Jesse's children passed before Samuel. And God says, you know, don't look on the outward appearance, but look on the heart. And then David passes by and he says, that's the guy. He anoints him. And it wasn't a day, it wasn't a year, 14 years. But even before that, you know, it says that he became the musician to the king. It says he became the armor bearer to the king. You know, God, he's going to call you to do some specific thing. And look, you're going to minister to that individual sometimes who's doing that thing that you have been called to do. I've been sitting under my father-in-law's preaching for years. And I love it. Brother Arlen, I love Brother Newman's preaching. I love it. Amen. Always spirit-filled, always challenging, always just, it's amazing. And I sit there, and I've been sitting there, and I look at him preach, and I think, God, when? You know, when do I get to preach? And I've been waiting for this for years. And some of you that, you know, maybe you're an apprentice to this journeyman, and this journeyman's harassing you, and he's on your case, and he's cussing, and he's doing all these things that just grate you. And you think, man, one day I'm going to be the journeyman. I don't know, maybe your schooling gets delayed. Maybe somebody forgets to send in your application. You know, you got to take them as, okay, well, I don't know why, Lord, but I guess I'll be an apprentice for a little while longer. Some of you might be looking for a significant other, and, you know, you're helping people that are married at their house with their duties, and maybe they need help just with the kids and maybe babysitting. And you look at those kids and you think, when am I going to have my own kids? When am I going to wash my husband's dishes? You know? When am I going to go and provide for a woman one day? But in your patience, possess ye your souls. And David, there he is. He's playing the harp, eh? I don't know how you, I guess this is the violin. The harp, I guess, goes like this. He's holding that armor for Saul. And he's playing that harp, driving that evil spirit away from him, knowing that this is the position that's supposed to be for me. And then now, javelins are being thrown at him. His life is being sought for. And your patience. Lastly here, the fulfilled desire. Psalm 145. The fulfilled desire. Verse 1, I will extol thee. Sorry. 14, verse 14. The Lord upholdeth all that fall. Psalm 145, verse 14. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. When does God help? Seems to indicate here there's a season of his help. Verse 14, he upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. So the point at which the Lord helps, I've been at this since 2004. God saved in 2004. And I don't know if this is the, you know, testimony for the rest of you, but when I'm in need of help, on a scale of 1 to, you know, 100, I'm never helped at, you know, mile 1 or mile 10. The answer doesn't come at mile 50. It doesn't even come at 60, 70, 80, 90, not even 95. But his help, it's usually 99.99. And at the nick of time, he's going to help. But you got to hold on. You just got to hold on. And he will help. Remember the children of Israel at the Red Sea? There they are. They're brought to this position where they're between a rock and a hard place, hey? There they are. And there's the Red Sea. Moses, you brought us out here to kill us. And I know that these miracles happened in Egypt. You did a great work. And I know God is alive, and he's helped me, and he's helped us. I've seen it in the past. But here I am right now, and I'm looking behind me, and there's Pharaoh. And I can't go back. And I can't go forward. So God, you've got to do something right now. Else I die. God, I'm bowed down. God, I'm weary. I need you to come through. When does God help? When we're bowed down. And I think he does this because he wants to see how much faith we have. Remember Jacob? I'll not let thee go till thou bless me. And he says, oh, your name is no more Jacob, but it's Israel. Because as a prince, thou hast prevailed with God. You need to prevail with God. But you can't prevail unless you, in your patience, you possess your souls. And what is the testimony of those that wait and possess their souls and their patience? Verse 17, or verse 16. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways. First it says in verse 14, 15, he upholdeth them that are bowed down. The Lord giveth them their meat in due season. And now he's saying, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. In 21, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. And that is the testimony of those that wait. You just got to wait. You know what? David, though he, I don't mean to be discouraging. Look, it was 14 years before he got the southern tribes. It was 20 years before he got all Israel. But in the midst of those years, he slew a giant. Hey, you say, I'm waiting for that long-distance will of God in my life, and there's nothing on the horizon to indicate that this is going to happen in my life. So I guess I'll just do nothing. I'll just wait till God opens the floodgates of this thing in the far-off nebulous distance, and I'll just sit here and just warm a pew. But you can kill a giant while you're waiting. I mean, in the mundane, in the waiting, there's still victories that can be had.
Amen.
And in the desert, there were still amazing victories that were had by the Israelites. There was still water that gushed out of a rock before they got to the ultimate destination. But in your patience, possess your souls. So I'm telling you, there's still encouragement. I'm telling you, I'm encouraged. I've been waiting for years. I'm still waiting on God to cause these things to happen in my life. I tell you, I waited in northern Manitoba for God to do some specific thing in my life. And he did some big things. But it was at 99.99, when I was at my wit's end, God finally pulled through. You know, I knew my wife 2 years before she knew me. She met me, but she didn't know me. She didn't know who I was. I knew who she was in those 2 years. And I prayed for her. I said, God, I even fasted for her. I said, God, if you can give me that woman. And I died the next day after she said, I do. I'd be happy. And here we are. And I was this guy up in Podunk, nowhere, northern Manitoba, at a domo shack, watching all my friends go off to university. And I was still making $11.50, $12 an hour. And then in a span of a short amount of time, God gave me this new job. And then shortly after getting the new job that was going to provide, I met Mary. She came to Thompson. The preachers sort of got together and said, you know, Brother Joey, he's fancied Mary for 2 years. And that wasn't until after he said, Brother Joey, get her off your mind. Amen. She's out of your league. I said, I know, but I'm going to pray and keep trying. You know, so in the waiting, there's blessings. There's victories.
Yes.
But in your patience, you've got to possess your souls. Amen. That's it for this morning, and we're going to pray, but Maybe I'll give a brief introduction, I guess, after we pray. So we'll go ahead and pray. Lord God, we just pray that you'd bless these folks, Lord. And God, you just use the message that was delivered, Lord. And God, that I pray that these folks would not be discouraged, Lord, but encouraged to... Lord, your word says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, Lord. They shall walk and not grow weary. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. So, Lord, you said that we'll mount up. God, I pray that you'd lift up those here that may be bowed down over some sort of trial, some sort of waiting. And God, you'd lift them up. God, that they can just, Lord, as an eagle, Lord, just soar. Lord, maybe there's somebody here that's not saved. And God, they've been waiting, Lord. Maybe waiting too long on the opportune moment to give you their life. And God, there is no promise of tomorrow. There's no promise of next week. And so I pray that they put that kind of waiting off, Lord. And God, that they would see your Son high and lifted up, Lord. God, as he was lifted up on the cross for our sins, Lord, they'd see that first and realize that he was lifted up on the cross for their sins. And they would trust in his shed blood, Lord, and that he took their sins, God, those heavy sins, and he nailed them to his cross, Lord. Lord, cause them to not wait any longer. Lord, we love you. And we just pray that you just deal with folks here this morning. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Joey.
Thank you for that. In closing, if you would turn to number 440 in your hymn book. And, exciting challenge. I think, we need to consider what God is doing. I think most of you know, we've been waiting. We've been patiently waiting more than 5 years for a pastor. But there's many blessings to be had as you abide with God along the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so the way is not to get to somewhere where there's going to be joy. Is to abide with Christ now. He's the way. And if each day we allow God to order our steps, he will lead us in the way that he would have us to go. And we'll find ourselves in the rear view mirror saying, isn't that amazing how God just led us safely along? He knows the way through the wilderness. All we have to do is follow. Let's sing number 440, Abide With Me. If God has spoken to your heart, we don't do altar calls here, but if God is knocking upon the door of your heart, do business with him. Meet with him right where you are. And we'll stand together. If you're able to stand, stand with me. And as we sing, Abide With Me, number 440.